You're listening to the Flasco Oncopod, brought to you by the Florida Society of Clinical Oncology, the voice of oncology in Florida.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tiago Biacchi. I'm a medical oncologist, a gastrointestinal medical oncologist, and associate professor here at Moffitt Cancer Center. And I'm here today, actually, to discuss three important studies recently, presented in major conferences or published recently. All of them regarding the tislelizumab, which is the new kid on the block for immunotherapy space in upper GI tumors. The first study that I want to discuss here today is the RATIONALE 305. So this was a phase three trial, large phase three trial that included patients with a gastric or gastroesophageal cancer, adenocarcinoma, HER2 disease. And patients were randomized one-to-one to chemotherapy, and this chemotherapy could be 5-fluorouracil with cisplatin or Zelox plus tislelizumab every 3 weeks or placebo. So this was a phase three trial, a large phase three trial, as I said. So a primary endpoint was overall survival, initially in patients with PD-L1 higher than 5. Percent, and if this was positive, they would do analysis for intention to treat. So many secondary endpoints, as we usually have for phase three trials, including PFS, response rate, this time to disease control, and quality of life outcomes too. So as I said, this was a large trial, so almost 500 patients. We have about 70% of those patients in Asia, about 30% of patients in the rest of the world, and about 80% of those patients had gastric cancer, and about 40% of those patients had metastatic disease into the peritoneum, so a pretty aggressive disease in 40% of those patients, usually with an inferior prognosis. So as I said, this was a phase two trial. We had about, actually it was less than 5% of those patients with PD-L1 score less than 5. So about almost a little bit more than half of those patients with PD-L1 score higher than 5. And this study was clearly positive. So even for the intention to treat population, so which included all patients with, randomized in the study. So even in that supergroup, actually, they said it was positive. So overall survival was increased from 12.9 to 15 months, and the hazard ratio was 0.8. When they analyzed only that subgroup of patients with PD-L1 higher than 5, the hazard ratio actually was even lower. So it was 0.74, and the overall survival was increased by almost 5 months in that subgroup. It's important to say that this study and all those other studies using this agent, they used a different score for PD-L1. So this subject is becoming even more complex, I'll say, in the upper GI oncology, but they use the TAP score, which is seems to be even easier to analyze. So essentially it's the area of the tumor that is taken account. So the area of the tumor with this PD-L1 positive in relation to the total area of the tumor. And there was a good correlation between the TAP score and, for example, the CPS score, which was used, in other trials. There's an important analysis that was presented actually ASCO GI this year, which was the analysis that they compared, when they compared patients with or without peritoneal metastasis or with or without liver metastasis. And interesting that this study was the first one that presented this data for with peritoneal metastasis, so which is as I said, it's usually a more aggressive disease, and for patients with peritoneal metastasis, the agent also improved overall survival, or hazard ratio was 0.78 and hazard ratio was 0.79, which is almost the same for patients without peritoneal metastasis. And same thing for liver. So we had hazard ratio very close to each other for with or without liver metastasis, showing that this the addition of tislelizumab to frontline chemotherapy was beneficial for patients with metastatic adenocarcinoma, gastric or GA junction adenocarcinoma. The second trial that I want to discuss here today is the RATIONALE 306. So a lot of numbers, but this was another phase three trial, large trial, comparing chemo plus tislelizumab versus chemotherapy plus placebo in frontline setting for patients with esophageal squamous cell carcinoma here. So essentially, patients with unresectable or metastatic squamous cell carcinoma from the esophagus were randomized 1-to-1. For both arms, again, primary endpoint, as this was a large phase three trial, was overall survival in the intention to treat population with several secondary endpoints. This study again had about 75% of patients coming from Asia. Most of those patients were ECOG 1, so almost 70% of those patients. And the TAP score actually was higher than 10 in about one third of those patients, and was less than 10 in almost half of those patients, with a part of those patients with the TAP score unknown, mainly because for this histology, of course, as we know, immunotherapy is active regardless, the PD-L1 expression. And the chemo backbone could be, many, agents. So it could be fluorouracil with cisplatin or capecitabine with cisplatin. It could be fluoropyrimidine with oxaliplatin. It could even be cisplatin with, paclitaxel, for example, which is a common, regimen used in Asia. This study actually was presented as a poster last year at ASCO for the 3-year overall survival, 3-year follow-up, sorry. So, and this study was, clearly positive as well. So the overall survival was increased actually in all subgroup of patients. So for intention to treat, hazard ratio was 0.7. For TAP score higher than 10, the hazard ratio was exactly the same, 0.7 or 0.77 for patients with a TAP score less than 10. So those curves, got separated since the beginning. So there was a clear benefit in overall survival. The median overall survival was increased by from 10 to almost, more than 19 months, so almost double the overall survival when they added immunotherapy to the chemo backbone in this population. Toxicity was pretty actually well tolerated. So the incidence of grade 3 or higher was almost the same, and all those scores, a quality of life analysis showed essentially no detrimental effect in the quality of life analysis when they combined immunotherapy to chemo backbone in this trial. And the third trial that I want to discuss here today is the RATIONALE 302, which was the trial in the second line setting using the tislelizumab versus chemotherapy in patients with the squamous cell, again, esophageal squamous cell carcinoma. So here, those patients were randomized after, progressing to first line. They were randomized to tislelizumab, 200 milligrams every 3 weeks, versus paclitaxel, docetaxel, or irinotecan. Usually, those are acceptable, second line options for those patients. Again, this was a large phase III trial, so overall survival in all randomized patients was the primary endpoint, with several, secondary endpoints. And this study was conducted across the board, but about 78%, almost 8%, 80% of patients came from Asia in this trial. And the trial was clearly, positive for overall survival. Again, median overall survival was increased by from 6.3 to 8.6 months. And those curves got separated since the beginning, since the, first 2 months, actually. And for example, the 12-month overall survival rate increased from 23 to 37% on the immunotherapy, group. This benefit, with immunotherapy was, of course, even higher for those patients with, TAP score higher than 10. And again, they presented quality of life analysis at ESMO a few years ago, and actually what they saw was a detrimental effect in the chemotherapy arm, and with the immunotherapy arm, actually the quality of life score was sustained or even, improved in few patients. So overall, we have this new option as immunotherapy agent, which is slightly different compared to those other immunotherapy agents that we have approved in this disease. Essentially, the molecule is, modified a little bit, so the Fc. There is a Fc-enhanced mechanisms to kind of bind a little bit more to the macrophage, for example, increasing the immune effect with with this agent. We do have some data in the population for the adenocarcinoma study. We have some data, for example, for the population with peritoneal metastasis, which is something important to know in the clinical practice. So it is another option, for those patients. We know that we are still, far from the ideal scenario, but having more options for those for our patients is always important. And on top of that, they started, using this new method to quantify the PD-L1, which seems to be a very reliable and probably, easier to reproduce, in among different, institutions or different pathologists. So, quite interesting as well. That was the message that I had for today. I hope you enjoy, and we'll see you soon. Take care. Bye.